Blog Talk Radio.
They use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things: the flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start, left behind. Someone's losing fucking ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in the cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Wow, folks, we made it to November 7th. It's truly amazing. I did not think we would actually make it alive, people. The election is over. The people have spoken, and Barack Obama gets a second term. So we have to applaud him and his efforts, and we actually have to applaud, believe it or not, Governor Romney for his efforts. It was a fight, folks. It was a fight. But we're going to speak on it. Also, our political correspondent, a.k.a. friend of the show, Norman Kelly, former line producer for Pacifica Radio, author of books like Rhythm and Business and The Head Negro in Charge Syndrome. He's coming through in a bit as well to give you his knowledge and his opinion of what was at stake and the outcome. But first, in homage of our president, let's play some funk. Let's play some James Brown. Funky President by The Godfather. Let's groove, and we'll be right back with more discourse. Hold on, folks.
Funky sound. Nasty.
Hey, listen to the man.
That's Godfather.
Payback.
Oh, bless.
People, people, gotta get over before we go under.
Godfather of Soul, James Brown, the late great Godfather of Soul, has just told you payback. That was The Funky President by the one and only James Brown. Folks, after the radio here, 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. And, of course, I cannot do the show without my partner in White Collar Crime. Captain, you're up. You're needed on the bridge.
Are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Never fear for war, Afro Nerd. Never fear for war. 6 months ago, the captain said that Obama would win the presidency. So that being said, there was only one event that mattered 6 months ago is the mere fact that the captain said that Obama was going to win the presidency, and it resulted in that. I collapsed the quantum wave function, and now he's the president once again, i.e. magical, against all odds.
Well, you know, listen, Captain, I will confess that I'm extremely relieved that the president got an opportunity for a second showing. It was only fair. Only fair. Actually, I should say one other thing. The beginning of the show, I had to play that clip because we can't forget, we cannot forget what the great George Carlin was speaking about. We give a lot of kudos to Richard Pryor, but because he was insightful as far as race relations. But George Carlin, he touched on race as well, but he really laid it on thick about how this country really works. And that's why he was extremely popular up until his dying day amongst the college crew, the college set, that they really liked what he was talking about. Some might say he's a throwback to the 60s, but, you know, the truth is what the truth is, and the truth actually won out to a certain degree with what happened yesterday. We saw the truth that despite all the vitriol, despite all the hyperbolic statements coming from the right, the truth won out. I mean, what's your opinion on that? I mean, there's a lot we're going to get into. I'm asking to send an email to Mr. Kelly because he's supposed to be coming through as well. We want to hear his insightful words. But what are your thoughts about what really went down?
Well, this is what I feel that happened, all right? The reason for Obama win, okay? Let's go back now. Let's look at this. Number one, it's not so much what Obama did. Obama more or less just showed up. Keep in mind, I have to talk about the obvious. He is the president, so he has a job to do day in and day out. He was just doing his job. So what Mitt Romney had to do, he had to do something special in order to win. Mitt Romney had many missteps. So but he essentially destroyed himself. So let's talk about his destruction going way back. Number one, he alienated the black vote. Number two, he alienated the Latin. Number three, disrespected and alienated women. Number four, some people said this is very key, very key. You pick Paul Ryan as a running mate versus Marco Rubio, who was Cuban, Florida senator. Okay, keep going now. Romney's middle income statement of $250,000 a year. You remember that statement, people? Now, even if you were not getting it, Romney essentially smacked you right in the face. Middle income is $250,000? Oh, really? Okay, let's keep moving. Romney's 47% of Americans who don't pay federal income taxes. Another smack in the face, even if you were not getting it. Now, this one right here sounds minor, but it was major. Todd Akin's legitimate rape comment. This metastasized through the whole Republican Party. This wasn't Romney's statement, but you attacked the Republican Party. Big problem. Then, as fate would have it, we had a hurricane. Hurricane Sandy with Chris Christie doing an infomercial for Obama the whole time. Okay, and let's remember this now, also within Hurricane Sandy. FEMA responded to Jersey very well. It was over 2,000 federal agents that were in there helping out and doing what they had to do. And Chris Christie was there praising Obama, even though Chris Christie spoke about Obama's policies and everything else. Now he's there shaking and hugging his hand. Everybody in America got to see that. Mr. wanted to cut FEMA, smack the American people again. There you have it. You combine those things, it's a loss. It's not so much what Obama did. Obama was the president, so he had his job to do. And I believe, Afro Nerd, we have to get to a caller. So let's handle that. You will, sir.
Norman Kelly.
Speaking.
Welcome once again to Afro Nerd Radio.
Thank you.
We ordained you our political correspondent. This is November 7th. We thought we'd never get here, to be honest with you.
Thank God.
This was just, I wanted it to be over so badly, Norman, really. Give us your impressions. Give us your rundown, your knowledge to our listening audience. What do you think happened here with the Republicans? Just what happened?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can figure out, what seems to have happened, is that they have overreached in the past 2 years. And Obama, despite the fact that the economy was weakened, but it's on the mend, was able to convince the American people, and particularly get his coalition out. He ran a better ground game. And I guess a lot of people saw that, you know, that Romney, you know, is just Romney is not the man he pretends to be. I mean, you don't know who Romney really is because, you know, as he said, as one of his people on his team said, you know, he's an extra sketch. And basically, you never got a good sense of this man. And he was the man from Bain who made a lot of money, you know, doing what he did with his equity company and whatnot. And he basically couldn't sell himself as the savior of the economy. And the only thing I can figure out is that Obama and his team did a very good job of keeping the coalition together. And Obama did a very good job of basically telling the American people or identifying Romney to be A when Romney wanted to be B. And so that's what happened. Because, look, I'll be honest with you. I'm very agnostic about this stuff. When everybody's making all these predictions, I always say wait until the votes are in because you never really know. I sort of like assume that given the way the economy was going, and it was going on the uptick, but you never know what, you know, people may get impatient and say, well, look, if the economy's on the uptick, maybe we ought to get somebody in like a businessman who can really rev it up. So I thought, you know, Obama had a pretty good chance of getting in. He also had a pretty good chance of not getting in again. But, you know, maybe, you know, what's happening is that what some people are saying is that the demographics in this country is changing. That, you know, that the only thing the Republican Party can rely on is, you know, it's a bit of hyperbole about angry white men. And that demographic is getting smaller. And the other demographic, you know, blacks, women, Hispanics, and Obama's going to, I think, owe the Hispanic community big time. That coalition was kept together. But Desmond, I tell you, I had never been more bored at a campaign, and I've never been more grateful that this one is over with.
Yeah, this is kind of an exhaustive effort, actually. I think the public was just tired.
We
wanted to see this going on. I mean, we really need to start taking cues from Europe, from England specifically, where I believe their electoral process takes about 6 weeks, whereas ours takes damn near 2 years. I mean,
2 years, yeah. I mean, you know, it's been exhausting.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, and prior to that, you also had 2 years of the Tea Party, and then in the past 4 years, you had this incredible demonization. And I think another thing that went on, some people have pointed out, is that you had the Republican Party trying to suppress black votes. You had the Republican Party engaging in the most, like, vicious demonization. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, of blacks in the Hispanic community, particularly with the immigrant population. And then you had the Republican Party, the sort of stuff that they were seeing about women and abortion and rape. I mean, it was just sort of like, you people have just gone stark raving mad. And I think they just went overboard.
Well, quickly, I want to go to, well, we have a caller coming. A caller, hold on for one moment. I want to go to a quick news clip to kind of encapsulate what we're talking about. And we'll get to the phones in a moment, so please hold on. I want to go to ABC News. We have a couple of clips that really go in deep as to exactly what transpired. And I think, you know, listen, what we're doing here is also a form of media as well. And this has to be, what we're doing has to be acknowledged as well, that I think there's different worlds going on, Norman, frankly, where if the Fox are in a universe, Fox News is in a universe, MSNBC is in a universe, AfroNerd has its own universe, and I suspect people are not as dumb. Although I have my suspicions.
Mm-hmm.
People are not as dumb as we are led to believe based on what the results are. We're talking about 300 plus electoral votes
right.
that the president was able to garner. This was really not a close proposition. Was
mm-hmm.
it? Really was not close. So I want to go to this news clip first, then we'll get to the call. So this is ABC News on the election results for 2012. Hold on, gentlemen. Hold on.
It was actually a series of narrow state wins that gave President Obama a decisive victory despite an unemployment rate that posed a serious threat to his 2012 campaign. President Barack Obama won a second term Tuesday after a race that was primarily fought in just a handful of battleground states.
You, the American people, reminded us that while our road has been hard, while our journey has been long, we have picked ourselves up. We have fought our way back. And we know in our hearts that for the United States of America, the best is yet to come.
Florida is still too close to call, but even if Romney won the state, Obama still handily beats him in the Electoral College vote. The popular vote will likely be closer.
And whether I earned your vote or not, I have listened to you. I have learned from you, and you've made me a better president.
Obama beat Republican challenger Mitt Romney after nabbing almost every one of the 12 crucial battleground states. Around 1 a.m. Eastern, Romney spoke to supporters in Boston to let them know he had made a concession call to the president.
I have just called President Obama to congratulate him on his victory. His supporters and his campaign also deserve congratulations.
The former Massachusetts governor said it was time to put aside partisan bickering and work together for the good of the country.
This is a time of great challenges for America, and I pray that the president will be successful in guiding our nation.
The newly reelected president spent the night here in Chicago. He has no public events scheduled for today. He and the first family arrived back at the White House at 5:30 this afternoon. Robin Paula.
And TJ, no one really expected or predicted such a wide electoral victory for the president. What demographics kind of helped him seal the deal?
Well, the president really won big among African Americans, women, and Latinos, and that's certainly what they were counting on. And in fact, he won among Latinos by an even greater margin than he did 4 years ago. And that actually raises serious questions about the future of the Republican Party and their greater broad appeal.
All right, T.J. Winnick there in Chicago. Thank you, T.J. Get some sleep.
Okay, we're back. Once again, that was ABC News on the election results for last night. I want to open up the lines. Let's see what our listening public has to say. Caller, welcome to Afternoon Radio. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, 904. What's up?
Yes, I had called you. This is me, James. I had called your show before.
Oh, yeah. You're from out of Florida, right?
Yeah.
All right, how's it going? How's Florida going? You're a troublesome state, man.
I know. Golly.
I mean, make up your mind.
I was so cheated out this election. It did mess up my mind. It did.
Well, listen, we know you're not an Obama fan, but give us your impressions of what happened last night and your impressions on what's going to happen going forward.
I don't know if you can remember, but remember when I was on your show with the other guy, I openly said I think Obama's going to take it. But here's the thing. I agree with your guest you just had on. I think subconsciously the Republicans was campaigning for Obama for the simple fact of all the radical comments that they were making about women, about contraception, questionable undertone racist signs they held up at their little Tea Party rallies. The very fact that you got Senator Mitch McConnell claiming that their number one goal is to make Obama a one-term president. I mean,
not work for the country, but make him a one-term president. I mean, that was
right. My thing is, if you're strategizing against a quote-unquote enemy, you don't let him know what your agenda is, and for them to say the things that they were saying. I mean, it was no surprise it was going to sway towards Obama. And the thing is, the GOP has literally gone so far right. I don't know if you can remember this, but they even started viewing moderates as enemies against them.
Republicans
so that
in
was
name
the
only.
Problem.
Yeah, Republicans in name only, yeah.
Well, speaking as a rhino myself, I understand exactly what that means. I mean, you know, I've dealt with this on other fronts. You know, just like Obama, certain black folks have a certain perspective. If you're not with the boilerplate black view, if you're not an independent thinker, even within the black community, there's a hegemony in the black community, you are a sellout. You know, you're not quite black enough. And if you think in a certain way, if you have independent thinking in the Republican Party, you're not Republican enough also. So there's a lot of that going around. And the reality is that this country is more moderate, you know, all good things go to those in moderation.
I think it's more libertarian.
Well, be that as it may, there's a lot of independent thought going through the country, straight down the middle.
Well, that's
and,
the thing.
Here's the thing,
you know, whether it's on the left or whether it's on the right, no one wants to deal with these strains of ideology.
Right.
That's what the real deal is from last night.
Here's the thing, Afro Nerd. On Blog Talk, I call a lot of the conservative shows, and at UF, you know, University of Florida, I talk to a lot of the college students and a lot of the professors who happen, believe it or not, yes, there's conservative professors who happen to be, you know, who happen to vote Republican, and that, you know, and I'm a huge, you know, Ron Paul supporter. And you know what these people tell me? That Ron Paul supporters don't matter and Romney was going to win. So my thing is, how could you isolate Ron Paul supporters, well, Ron Paul basically, when Ron Paul had a huge influence on youth, on youth voters and on military personnel and on military soldiers, and then you expect to win? I mean, that was just, I just thought it was plain out stupid. It couldn't get dumber than that. Because Ron Paul was actually more of an asset than a default to them.
Well, you know what? I want to pose a question to our political contributor, Norman. They're tapping into this whole thing about the demographics. Explain, where do you think we're going demographically? We've been talking about this for a few years now. It seems like we're actually seeing this before our eyes. How do you think demographics played a role with President Barack Obama's win last night?
Well, I mean, you just basically you're beginning to see the rise of, you know, certain groups. Like, let's say, I mean, the black population, if I remember correctly, is like 12-13%. The Hispanic population is maybe 14%, and we're not even, and it could be even larger because you have this underground reservoir of illegal or undocumented people who haven't come out of the shadows. So it could be even larger. Then you have a declining white demographic. You know, they're not dying off or anything like that, but, you know, the number of people of color, you know, and younger people, I think those demographics are going to weigh against the Republican Party. And as a matter of fact, I think I heard today that Obama is talking about, he thinks that the Republican Party might even want to reconsider its position on immigration reform just so they have something to say to the Hispanic community. Because basically, you know, the Democratic Party now pretty much, for the time being, has a lock on certain key demographics: women, Hispanics, blacks, and youth. Now, in those key demographics, all those people are not going to agree and think the same way on every issue. But generally speaking, you know, they may tend to vote, for the time being, depending on policies, on the Democratic ticket. And I think what the Republican Party is going to, like, is backing itself in a corner by thinking that all it has to do is just depend on the Tea Party variant, which has pretty much, you know, weakened the Republican Party, because now it has painted the Republican Party as an incredibly extreme and out-of-touch party. And I think you're beginning to see, I mean, like, look, they're still holding on to the House. Okay, nothing has changed in the House. The Democrats won the White House. They held on to the Senate. However, they didn't make any gains in the House. Now, we will see whether or not what's going to happen with that. But, you know, I think for the time being, it's going to paint the Republican Party into a very extreme corner.
Well, you know what? I want to go to another clip, if you could hold on for a second. It goes deeper into this demographic issue, and then I want to unpack it for our audience. Again, folks, you're listening to Afternoon Radio. Feel free to give a buzz in. Give us a buzz. It's 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We are speaking to our political correspondent, contributor Norman Kelly. And more with ABC News. They're digging deep about why the Republicans lost, and they're digging deep into this whole notion of demographics. So I want to go to this clip, and then we will return. Hold on for one moment. Here we go.
An exciting day, an emotional day, and a historic day. All those adjectives fit.
So let's get some analysis from our senior Washington editor, Rick Klein, is here. And Rick, I think a lot of people want to know, can they get anything done in Washington now? Pretty much everything stays the same, but you hear this bipartisan tone. The president already saying that he's going to invite Romney to have a discussion to talk about some ideas.
The voters did not give President Obama a mandate, but what he can do now is create that mandate. I think if he begins to govern like the promise of Barack Obama back in 2008, back in 2004 at the Democratic Convention, if he begins to bring that piece of America together, this was a broad coalition that voted today. Yes, it's a divided country, but this is a new America that was speaking out in a pretty loud voice and saying this is the leadership they wanted, and what they're craving right now is a leadership moment, and that's where the president has an opportunity.
And you did hear a lot of talk about that bipartisanship. The headline tonight is about the president and how well he did and how it defied all expectations and pundits. No one expected the electoral gap to be as wide as it was. How did he pull it off? Was it the turnout game, or was it, I mean, what exactly led to such a convincing victory?
It's a perfect combination of demographics and tactics. On the demographic side, he took advantage of this surge in younger voters and minority voters. He was able to bring home Hispanics in record numbers. There was never before we've seen double-digit Hispanic turnout,
10%.
Or 10% of the whole electorate Hispanics. And then on top of that, tactics, because what delivered for him in the upper Midwest were the over-reliable white working-class voters, and he did that by destroying the other side and deploying his resources to try to define the other guy before he had a chance to hit him.
And fascinating stat here, the president won tonight with the least support of white men of any other president ever in the history of the country. What does the election, when you look at the marijuana issue, look at the gay marriage issue, look at the Latino issue, we are at a very distinct point culturally, politically, and socially, and demographically in this country.
That's right. And I think you saw a sort of revenge of the middle here in a lot of ways. On the social and cultural issues, you had a lot of voters coming out and saying, that's not the party that we wanted. This wasn't the extremes of the party who were dictating it. Mm-hmm. President Obama accused of being a liberal, all that. But this was, I think, the vast middle of the country coming together and ultimately rejecting where the Republican Party has been going over the last couple of years.
Do you think out of this, the Republican Party has to look at themselves in the mirror and take a really hard look, because you look at exactly who the president got great support from, 38 points with single women, a strong Latino population, and like you said, the lowest voting from white males,
right,
in presidential history.
There's serious soul searching going to happen in the Republican Party, and the problem for them is that the path forward is even more pessimistic, because none of the demographics that they appealed to in this election are growing demographics.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a chance to maybe eke out one last election using the old formula. It didn't work, so it's going to be back to the drawing board.
So imagine 2016, you will have to see a different kind of Republican if there's any chance for the GOP to become relevant again.
That's right. And by the end of the week, we're going to start hearing noise about who that person is and what the direction is, maybe by the end of the day.
Chris Christie.
Exactly.
That's right, exactly.
How likely do you think the bipartisanship will happen, particularly with the fiscal cliff at the end of the year? That's issue number one.
Right. This is this time bomb that's ready to detonate, but I do think the president has a chance here. If he comes forward quickly and says, this is my solution, and get the public behind him, begin to use the presidency in ways he didn't over the last 4 years, then you've got a chance to try to break something. Otherwise, we have the same Congress, the same president. Not a lot of people optimistic that things will change.
Exactly.
He is the man, the myth, the legend, Rick Klein, our Washington senior editor. Thank you.
Okay, once again, let me give a hat tip to ABC News. You know, I wanted to say something real brief on this thing as well, going back to demographics. It is interesting to note that they did mention that this is the first president in history that was able to become president, retain his seat without a large white populace behind him. Now, that's one of the things that was always talked about when we thought that having a president of color was science fiction. Remember, folks, when we thought it was going to be science fiction, one of the main hurdles that was out there was, well, there just won't be enough white people to enable a black person to become president. Now we're seeing that you really don't need a whole lot of whites per se, or majority white males to ascend to the presidency. This is something. This is a frightening proposition.
And
for
certain
white groups that just can't handle this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that is going to and that those people will probably be your Fox resentment clique that will be stewing for the next 4 years. And the next thing you have to worry about is if the president will be able to actually live out his term. I always used to make a joke that Barack Obama's greatest political achievement may well be not being assassinated. Yeah. I mean, if you think how this man has been demonized, I mean, why would you not do the unthinkable? I mean, and Fox and these people have demonized this guy to a point where it's just sheer lunacy. On Mother Jones, listeners should go to Mother Jones, and there's a graphic diagram of all the Obama conspiracies with a picture of the president in the middle, surrounded by four or five circles, and how these circles of lunacy overlap. People should go to Mother Jones and see if they can see. And this is the depth of the lunacy and conspiracy theories that's been attributed to this president and pushed by Fox News and Drudge and people like Rush Limbaugh. And I think they're going to be in high dungeon because of his victory.
Captain, you have some thoughts?
I totally agree with exactly what he was saying. You know, yes, to put it in layman's terms now, people would say that Obama now has to watch his back. And according to some conspiracy theorists, they would say he needs to have an all black security service all around him instead of the mixed demographic that essentially he has at this given time. You know, so I've seen some of these conspiracy sites and everything else. Some of the stuff seems legitimate. Some of the other stuff seems way out there. But I really do feel at this given point, there may be a backlash. There may be some rogue people that come along. Or it might be somebody else who really sets this up from high up and uses this as a false flag in order to go do something else. Everything is in the mix at this given time because essentially what has happened, you know, the demographic here has really pretty much changed in order to win the presidency. The Republican Party has to change now. That, as we said behind the scenes, that madman from the 1960s image, quote-unquote polished white individual from the 1960s mindset, will not work anymore. You have to come with something else. You have to put a woman out there. You have to put some Latin people out there. You have to put some black people out there. The whole thing has to change now in order to go forward if you're Republican. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. You know, I see that. You know, I'm not going to say we invented that, you know, that whole line of thinking, but it's just a natural. When we were talking behind the scenes, I had mentioned that, you know, off the cuff, that Romney and Ryan had the look and the cadence of a Mad Men episode. So then, lo and behold, there's, I believe there's a contributor on ABC. I forgot the gentleman's name, but he's a person of note. And he says, kind of in a very, very poignant way, that it's already going viral, he says that the Republican Party can no longer afford to act as if they were madmen in a Modern Family world. But at the same, conversely, though, now you know something else. You know how I am, Captain. Conversely, because you know on this show we are highly critical of many different types of people and different goings-ons. I'm highly critical of lower-tier black folk. People mm-hmm. know about this. And some of our ghetto-centrism, whether it's gossip, whether it's media takeout, there's a whole industry of minstrels that make our movements very difficult. The criminals, right. The gangbangers, they make black progress very difficult. And conversely, if we're going to talk about madmen in a modern family society, we have to also talk about black folks that act as if this is a Mac film, as if we're Goldie in the Mac.
okay, in a Cosby episode.
Right.
I got to flip it that way.
Yeah.
I have to flip it that way. When I went, this is just full disclosure, when I was able to cast my vote, and I did Republican locally, but I voted for the president nationally. I was surrounded by quite a few, quote-unquote, brothers and sisters, and they were out of pocket, to use a colloquialism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are angry. They're not cordial. You know, I'm hearing behind me grown folks, Norman, grown folks saying, oh, I just voted for the first time. How in the hell your 50-year-old ass is voting now? It's an embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can say, if you're 18 to 25, I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Post 25, no way. We can't have, even for the Centurions, and God bless them, they were able to make that. I saw Centurions of color, 100 plus, that were saying they voted for the first time. Come on now.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, you know, now, this is very interesting because basically the general rule of thumb is that the lower you are on the economic scale, the less likely you are to vote. So supposedly, I guess, Obama has been very good at getting these people out to the polls. The same thing with young people. Young people have a tendency, you know, regardless of race, have a tendency not to vote as much and as often as middle-aged people or seniors. So something is going on. I mean, Obama has been able to keep these people active because they weren't active in 2010, which is how the Tea Party Republicans got in, because the Black Coalition and the Black population of the Obama coalition, you know, didn't show up. You know, particularly I think Hispanics, young people, young whites, and Blacks this time around, which is it always ticks up a little bit more doing a presidential election anyway.
One quick thing, I do want to go to a musical break, if you could hold on for a moment, Norman.
Sure.
We do try to give our audience a fully packed show. Friend of the show and recent guest and former Prince bassist tweeted me. We had a quick conversation, which is great for me, one of my musical idols. I'm speaking to Andre Simone, so that's cool within itself. He has a new song. So I told him, listen, I'm going to play it. And when he comes through with a new album, which he said will be soon, he's going to come back to our show. So kudos to him. And he also did his part in supporting and sending funds to the Obama campaign so we could see him for a second term. So he has to be respected. Anyway, a new song from him, shouting out Black Rock, again talking about changing up our, you know, Goldie from the Mac in a Cosby Show world. This is American Dream by Andre Simone. Folks, we'll be back. Let's groove. We'll be right back.
Looking at the road ahead, future red, white, and blue. Searching for a better life, but I can't find a way. I want my fortune and fame. Someone wanna spread the wealth, wanna see me down and out. Put my dreams up on a shelf, future of a world in doubt. Can't believe a word they say, cause there ain't no lie. I say the prize for my dream, American dream. The life and wealth, life and health in color. Dream, American dream. Don't you ever try to take it, cause only you can make it. Everybody feels the pain. People on bended knee, hoping they can see the sign. Don't lose your faith, no, no, no. Money trying to shut you down. See the white
Talking about the obvious, folks, we're talking about last night's election, historic election or re-election of President Barack Obama. We have friend of the show and our political correspondent slash contributor, Norman Kelly. Actually, I want to mention, I should be correct and have Norman himself mention this. Kudos to you, sir, for your efforts with Indiegogo. Tell the audience about what has happened, that you were able to, you were very successful with your campaign.
Oh, well, you know, I basically... We've been trying to raise, sir, from $18,000 to $20,000 for a documentary film I'm working on about Charlie Peters, and we raised the first tranche. We broke it up into about three pieces, and raised. Our goal was $6,000, and we did this from October 2nd to October 31st, 30 days, and within that time period, we raised $6,177. In which will go to the post-production editing of our film, How Washington Really Works, The Life and Times of Charlie Peters, which is a film about the founder of the Washington Monthly. The reason why I've been working on this film for the past couple of years is because the Washington Monthly is one of the foremost magazines of political journalism. And also, it had a great track record of bringing in a stellar crop of journalists who trained there, like David Ignatius, Joe Nasser, Michelle Cottle, Nick Lemon, John Alter. A lot of these people have worked at the New York Times, Washington Post, Newsweek, various other publications, Random House, places like that. So it's a documentary I've been working on. It's a story about a man, a magazine, and the media.
Terrific, terrific. Back to the campaign. I do want to mention something that I thought was pretty interesting that happened last night. This morning. Now we're, you know, I think there was someone, or maybe it was yourself, or it was the captain, referencing this potential, not even really potential, is going on, this backlash by those who are on the right or even those who just did not want to see President Barack Obama get a second term. Now we're seeing Twitter rage. Donald Trump, which I guess no one would really be shocked about him going off, but this guy,
he's embarrassed.
Really, he's having a meltdown. Now, he quickly said a whole bunch of provocative statements. Now he's deleted what he said. It's the end of all times. It's the end of the world. He was talking about going to Washington,
a
democracy is dead.
The Million Millionaires March. That's what he wants to lead, the Million Millionaires March.
Well, good luck with that. That's part of the problem. I mean, I'm just amazed. Well, I should stop saying amazed. I'm not amazed, but I guess I'm disappointed in seeing people believe that because Barack Obama received a second term, that this is the end of it. This is one of the critiques I have with our own community, that black folk had this whole thing I have to turn it around, because I live in a world of duality where, you know, we had to deal with the racism. You know, some folks say I don't talk more profoundly about racism, maybe because I know what it is. I'm not. It's not like I was born yesterday. I know what racism is. I'm not really shocked by it. I don't expect certain whites. Now, I got it to be specific. Certain whites who have a racial bent, I don't expect them to change.
Mm-hmm.
But I do expect black people to start thinking more critically, and we have to change our ways as well. And this is when I hearken back to, you know, we have to be more sophisticated about what we're doing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, this is one of the complaints that I had that, you know, when they talk about these demographics, sure, black people are mentioned in it.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, the stars of the moment, as far as the demographics, they're not really talking about black people if you listen to the conversation.
Well, because, you know, blacks are a dependable block of the Democratic Party. You know, and not only that, look, if you think about all those other demographics, particularly the Hispanic and the gay community, and even the women, they all went to the president and said, look, sir, if you want our vote, this is what you're going to have to do to get it. You're going to have to work for it. You know, the black community, to a certain degree, has not done that.
Well, we've been, you know, you've been on the show before, and
yes.
we've mentioned this before.
There is
and
no
I
black
can't
agenda,
seem,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And I can't understand. I'm hearing other black outlets going into this whole thing about he hasn't done anything for us. And all I'm saying is a couple of things. Can't we be a little bit more sophisticated as to what we are seeing?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why, you know, if this president is so milquetoast, then why were white people so fearful? And I don't want to say all whites, because we have to be fair about that also.
Because
there
but
are
that's
a lot
the irrational
of fair-minded. Blacks are going to have to also understand that there is such a thing as a fair-minded white person.
Yeah.
We have to admit to that as well.
But there have always been whites of goodwill.
Yeah,
I mean, we could not have totally survived on our own without some assistance of goodwill. I mean, there's always a possibility of people of goodwill. You know, look at the abolitionists. You know, they were some of black people's best friends. You know, I mean, a lot of the problems with slavery, you know, blacks ran away from slavery. You had people like Frederick Douglass. You had Martin Delaney. You had great noble. You had people like Harriet Tubman. Blacks have assisted in their own advancement. However, we've always had friends of goodwill. That is Stevens, the radical Republicans. I mean, the Republican Party, which what made the Republican Party a great party was that it was the party that helped liberate African Americans from slavery. It has now become just the opposite, because now you got all these conservative white Southern Democrats and their children who have now taken over the Republican Party, which is basically what has happened.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing when I was referencing about black folks is that, A, as you just noted, we're going to have to be a little bit more discerning when it comes to whites who have an agenda that is similar to our own, that there were young white folks that were clear-headed about what they were seeing with Romney,
mm-hmm.
and they have to be applauded.
Yeah,
although there are a lot of white people that were, you know, just being racist. That's something we have to acknowledge that as well. But
mm-hmm.
we can't just lambaste everybody. So
right.
I have to be conscious about that. But also, my main point is that going forward with Barack Obama being successful, this whole premise of he doesn't have a black agenda, every other group that quote unquote got something, that quote unquote got something.
Well,
they had a specific advocacy
yeah.
that approached the president where everyone was pretty much on the same page. Okay, this is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was pretty much aware of what the Latino community wants, what the gay community wants, what women want. But
mm-hmm.
when it comes to black folk, I have not seen an effective advocacy that approached the president to say, this is what we need or this is what we want. We just, I guess because he's black, let's be honest, We think that, well, he's supposed to know that. It's not
yeah.
about what he's supposed to know.
Right.
It's because he's no longer the black man. He is the president. And we haven't gotten that through our thick skulls. And also, why is it that black people, I've been saying this for the last couple of months now, this anger toward Barack Obama, if he's allegedly so milquetoast, if he's so milquetoast, why are people having meltdowns for the second term? There's no way that we can have there's no way that this man could go into a first term with a black agenda on some kind of some movie sign. This is the black agenda screaming it. There's no way.
Well, you know, the reason, I mean, look, you also had to remember that
term, no.
When there was the Congressional Black Caucus, even when they stepped up and said that he was not doing enough in regard to seeing that blacks got jobs or anything of that nature, they were given pushback. I remember reading stories of how some black congressional members were getting primary challenges just because they were doing their jobs and complaining about the lack of programming ideas aimed at the black community. They were being gotten after by black constituents because they were getting after the president. So either way, you know, there you have somebody pushing a black agenda. However, they were getting attacked by some of their black constituents. Threats were being made against them about being primaried.
You know, something else, and I said this before, if we're going to be Machiavellian, if we're going to be shrewd, maybe we shouldn't call it a black agenda, just to be slick about it. Because in all fairness, whites are not going to call their agenda they're not going to call it a white agenda. Although it is one, they're not going to call it
that.
So if we call it something else for the second term, let's be slick about it. See, people think that this line of discourse, that I'm not wanting a black agenda. That's not what it is. All I'm saying is, let's be a little bit more slick about it, because obviously we've seen instances when Barack Obama had a flash of blackness, and I mean that, you know, I don't mean that to be funny. I mean flash in the sense of with the Dr. Gates thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, okay, wait a minute, you know, with the the kid that was I'm already forgetting now the Trayvon Martin matter.
Mm-hmm.
The Trayvon Martin matter. He said this could have been my own son. I mean, there's things he's done, and when he just goes a hint in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a white group that smacks him down.
I know. Well, you know, he's breaking.
We don't acknowledge that.
He's breaking the contract. Basically,
yes.
The contract is that if we, white America, to Barack, we will vote you in. However, you can't act too black. And now they get a little. Now they're resenting Obama because when he has, as you say, flashes of blackness, it's like, whoa, he's sleeping with a black woman. My God, what is this thing? He's got black children. Oh my God. You know, people go after him about that.
The captain has some words. Captain, what's up?
I think the first thing in the black community, they have to bar themselves from the emotional response at first when you just see the black individual up there standing on the podium, which is very difficult to do. Then the next thing that needs to be done, they need to entrench themselves in how government works. This is why Norman Kelly's movie is necessary times a thousand, why it's necessary, because they have no ideology in any way, shape, or form how any form of politics works.
Well, you can say that about the American population in general also.
That's definitely true. But, you know, as they say, when white America catches a cold, we catch pneumonia, so it's worse for us.
Right.
So that being said, they need to educate themselves a lot better in how things work. Right now, they just essentially look for the hookup. And when you look for the hookup, you don't know what even you're looking to be hooked up for. You're looking for someone to give you a fish when you should be learning how to fish. Big problem. Back over to you, Sir Affleman.
Well, yeah, Captain, and I said this before, and I will continue to say this, is that, you know, if there were a President Afro-Nerd presidency, you know, I would give the black community spinach as opposed to French fries, which would mean that, you know, we are going to, whether we like it or not, we're going to have to get a handle on some of what's happening with us culturally. And I encountered this when I was casting my vote yesterday. some of the cultural mannerisms that we have. And this is not saying that, well, we have – he's trying to say we need to act more white. No, because certain level of decorum, a certain level of comportment doesn't mean that it's white.
Well,
you know,
when
Barack Obama speaks the way that he does, and actually, as people, I've said this before, Barack Obama doesn't really speak with a quote-unquote Caucasian accent. He just speaks well. He's a black person that actually has a command of the English language.
Yeah.
And we take that to mean that he's speaking white. No, he's speaking the King's English. That's it.
Well,
so
you know,
we've got to stop this notion of, you know, certain things that are – this goes back to our own degradation. It goes back to our own victimization, where we think that certain things that – you know, we equate success, we equate proper diction – we give white people a bit too much credit for things that are just things. Proper diction is just proper diction. It's not white diction.
You know, Desmond, this goes back to the thing what has happened. I think years ago, what you were saying would not be news. There used to be – what you're saying is that when the black middle class used to be the leadership class of black America, somebody like Barack Obama would not be seen as being unusual. However, since the 60s and since the rise of hip-hop, where, for lack of a better term, the rise of the authentic black man is now the hardcore core urban nigga.
Yes.
You know, that, and this is the class element within black America in which we don't talk about a lot. There is the civil rights movement, unintended consequences was that it divided black America's into now distinct classes, and now our different classes are frictioning against one another, rubbing up against one another. We have different needs, you know. So maybe that's why they're trying to get a black agenda may be impossible, because now black America has now been fractured, and the old black agenda was getting the boot of white America off our necks. That has been pretty much achieved.
Well, you know, listen, even in this format on Blog Talk, there are a number of different shows, black-centric shows, and I will confess I do listen to what I can tolerate. I listen to some of the programming, and it's very ghetto-oriented, and I'm saying culturally ghetto, ghetto-culturally-oriented or stereotypically ghetto-culture-oriented, malapropisms, incorrect English, even Steve Harveyism, or, you know, Steve Harveyization of, you know, doe and dat, and, you know, fee, fi, fo, faux people, you know, that kind of talking, that kind of speech. There's no place for that anymore. Or rather, there needs to be more of a kaleidoscope of blackness so we can see everybody. See, you know, let's cut the light on and see what everybody looks like. But this whole thing, and you said this so eloquently, we mentioned it, I think last time you were on the show, we talked about this Pew Research report that came out a few years ago that talked about this fraction or this factionalization between black folk, that middle class blacks and underclass blacks are diverging, that they're just not seeing things the same way, and that no one's really talking about this. That this is a real thing.
Well,
that we're just not looking at. We have different ways of looking at things. We have different almost a different cultural standard. And in the 60s on back, the black middle class were very prominent as far as imagery.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't. And it's funny that, you know, we talk about pop culture, talk about all things on the show, but when you think about what I saw when I was growing up, when I, whether it was Bill Cosby, whether it was Harry Belafonte or Ruby Dee, there was a whole, even politically, whether it was Ron Dellums or there's so many black people that were of a certain, not that they didn't have the will of other black people at heart, but you do need a straight black person kicking it, as opposed to your Snoop Dogs and all these people that are just not, they're not subpar. Subpar Negroes have to go, Norman.
Well, what do you mean by they have to go?
They have to go.
What do you mean exactly they have
I'm not talking about Goebbels in Germany.
Okay,
I'm not talking about that.
I mean, you know,
I'm not going
that question,
far.
You know.
Not on air.
Okay.
Not on air.
Not
going
on air, right.
But I mean I'm just joking. But what I mean is we need to have someone who is a bit more sophisticated, not white.
You know.
People are going to say, well, he wants more white acting, whatever that means, whatever that even means.
Well, see, I thought Obama would do
that. People that are able to put forward a plan that works, that is not just full of ignorance and smoke and anger. That's it's not working. That has never worked. That has never worked.
I thought Obama would be doing that. And to some degree, I don't know. I mean, I thought that was the role that Obama would play, you know, in bringing back the rise of the black middle class.
Well, listen, I've made this analogy before, and you know, sometimes you have to think this stuff through. I've talked about how this presidency, since it's anytime there's a black first, it's going to have its problems. And a black first, this black first is not that different than Jackie Robinson's black
mm-hmm.
first. And Jackie Robinson was a Republican. He was
yeah.
very well spoken,
mm-hmm.
very clean cut.
Right.
Before you got to a Dennis Rodman, and all the other clowns in sports, you had to have that straight black person to get you in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So before we send in the clowns, you have to have the straight black guy. We've seen this before, Norm. Why don't we act like we haven't seen history?
But
this is how it works.
But this goes back to, I think, what had happened with integration. The doors of segregation came down, and the black middle class left the urban centers, went out to the suburbs, disassociated themselves from the black lower class, and the black lower class basically, via hip-hop and crime and all this other stuff in urban centers, for lack of a better term, raise themselves and present themselves to the larger world, particularly through hip-hop. And then you get these people like Dennis Rodman and all these other people.
Now,
so now these people are, quote-unquote, an embarrassment to the rest of us. You know, but there is no longer any class, there's no longer any cross-class collaboration because the black middle class and the black lower class are no longer sharing the same space anymore.
Sharing the same values.
Yeah, or sharing the same values. And while you're sharing the same space, you may share the same values, more or less. I mean, the black middle class used to, for lack of a better term, used to control or put a damper on some of the activities of the black lower classes, advancing the race, that whole thing. That's gone now. That's been over with since the last 40 years. That whole kind of stuff is gone. So
what happens now with Obama's second term? Everyone is talking about that all these other groups are going to get something. Matter of fact, it's already happening. We saw that we saw the first lesbian obtaining a senatorial seat. And I think 20 women gained Senate seats.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that correct?
I think so.
Already, I mean, that's pretty amazing, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So women are quote unquote getting theirs.
Yes.
Latinos are going to quote unquote get theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So black people are looking for something. I just don't know if we have really. I don't think we have really articulated exactly what we need, because what we really need, honestly, we gotta root out the criminality in our communities. Criminality and education have to be dealt with.
Well, one of the reasons why one of the best ways of rooting out the criminality is just people, I think, really – look, I would be really happy if – I doubt if he'd do it – if Obama really dealt with this whole drug war. I think the drug wars has been one of the major reasons why there's a high level of criminality and jail sentences going on in black America. If you don't deal with that problem, if you don't, decriminalize, if you don't deal with the war on drugs, I think the war on drugs has had a profound effect, particularly on the black lower class. There's no jobs going on, so what do? You sell drugs. if you take the incentive out of that and then start to try to push people towards more productive activity, you may get a different type of activity or behavior within the black lower class. That is something that is a long-term structural thing I think that should be dealt with and addressed. But you don't hear much about that, and I doubt if Obama would want to deal with that. Maybe that would be a big agenda item to deal with.
Well, listen, I'm looking for some kind of I don't want to use the term sea change. I thought that way in 2008, 2009. I can't say sea change, but there's going to have to be something. You know, I always talk about the little cultural cues, like the pants sagging. That has to stop. You know, we can't have our young people professing their love for President Barack Obama and the Obama family.
Mm-hmm. While they got their pants down their ankles.
And then attempting to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing. You know, we can't look. Let's stand up, walk upright, have your head up high, and you're not going to be able to do this with your pants sagging down. I'm sorry. Now,
mm-hmm.
some folks are going to look at that as like, well, you're just throwing hate on a culture, on how black people do. That's not really what I'm saying. It's time to look like we're serious people.
I mean, if you
just don't look serious. I don't know.
A couple of years ago, I was at the National Portrait Gallery. There was an exhibition on black people or just photographs. And I walked through there, and the thing that struck me was like, man, I was looking at these pictures of black folks in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Oh, forget about it.
And then everybody was just suited up looking nice.
Sharp as a tack.
They were just suited up, Desmond, and looking nice. And I'm like, wow. I mean, and that changed really in the 60s. And I don't want to blame everything on the 60s, but you can definitely see a line of when things begin to change for the better and for worse. But I was looking at these pictures of black people, and they were like, we were just suited up, man, looking nice, looking sharp, looking clean. I mean, it was really amazing.
We don't look like, Norman, we don't look like that anymore.
No, I know. I mean, that's the most.
Now, I'm being tribal. I shouldn't say I look like that. Okay. I'm sure
I
you look like that.
I had people get after me when I look like that. I mean,
The tangential producer of the show, I say affectionately, it was my father. He looks like that. He looked like that when he was going to vote yesterday.
Yeah.
And I told him, be leery of what you look like. You and, of course, the Wedger is also my mother. I say that affectionately on the show. Both of them look like brand new money. They did not look like the folk that I saw earlier that were voting. And I don't want people to think I'm putting down black people. It's not about putting down black people. We got to stop this thing about putting down as opposed to critique, as opposed to helping and being truthful and not being so politically correct. Political correctness and being careful with our words are exactly what is killing our people. On that note, I want to go to a quick musical break, Norman. And when we get back, I want to go shift.
I'm going to have to leave you.
Oh, no problema. We only got about 15 minutes remaining. As always, we appreciate your support. We appreciate your knowledge. And we'll call you back in another 3 or 4 weeks because there's going to be more coming down the pipeline with this thing. So we appreciate you coming through. Definitely.
Well, thank you for having me, and I always enjoy myself.
Yeah, we make sure you do. We'll keep it festive.
Good night,
we'll keep
all.
It festive. You too. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Bye.
That was Norman Kelly, folks. Look out for him in his film. Captain, I'm going to go to a musical break, and I want to talk about Chris Christie right across the bridge here in NYC. How much did his efforts as a Republican, how much did Hurricane Sandy play a role in the reelection of Barack Obama? We want to talk about these things. Let's go to a jammy jam first. This is Jamiroquai. We haven't heard from this gentleman in a long time. Jay, UK's Jay of Jamiroquai. This is Drifting Along. We'll be back in a few moments, folks. More urban alternative music. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back, folks. Again, that was Jamiroquai, Jay of Jamiroquai from UK. That was Drifting Along. We're at the tail end, folks. This is Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We were fortunate enough to have our regular political contributor, Norman Kelly, who is a former line producer for Pacific Radio. He also has several books of note that I would implore our audience definitely get those books because they are excellent reads. One book is called The Head Negro in Charge Syndrome. The Head Negro in Charge Syndrome that really unpacks the whole notion of black politics and black leadership. And it's a few years old, I think, going back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but it's still an excellent read. And actually, it is foretelling of Barack Obama. It's telling the need for a shift in black political discourse and the black political regime. So it foretold, in a sense, the coming of President Barack Obama. So that's one book. And another book is called Rhythm and Business, R&B, Rhythm and Business. And it talks about what we talk about incessantly here at AfroNerd, what has happened to black music. What has happened to it, really? The lack of musicianship, the business aspect of it, that, you know, we just take it for granted that we had all this superior, and the captain knows what I'm talking about, we had all this superior musicianship going back 20, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. Superior musicianship, and now it's a former shadow or a shadow of its former self, musically. There's a reason for this, and that's why we try to really promote urban alternative music and all these other kinds of black artistry, because commercially, we're not seeing it. We just take it for granted. This is the way life is supposed to be, but that's not really what it's supposed to be. So I figured I'd mention those things. And also one other thing, not to be so repetitive, but, you know, when I talk about, quote-unquote, black people, when I talk about, use terms like lower tier, I know some people are going to take this in an insulting way, when the captain and myself, when we go into these things. It's because we do love black people, but we want correction. I don't know how else to say certain things unless I say it bluntly, unless we really attack it forthrightly, unless we really bring it up. I don't want to continue seeing news reports and news feeds and police blotters full of black men, black women dying at our own hands. 40, 50, 60 years ago, we had the Knight Riders doing that to us. We can make the argument that police are doing this, but they're not doing it in the numbers that we see in Chicago. The numbers of Chicago, Captain, are on par, or dare I say, beyond the death of soldiers in Afghanistan right now, in Chicago, at the hands of other people that look like us. So when I bring it up, I don't want to get emails telling me that you're selling out. What is this? We just give Black Death a pass? All right. I had to say my two. I repeat this, but I'm going to. It's the way it is. It continues. We're going into a second term with this president. We've got to see some change in ourselves. We do, along with this quote unquote black agenda. But let's not just call it a black agenda. That's all I'm saying. I would suggest that, Captain. We got about 7 minutes remaining. You actually brought up the notion of Chris Christie and New Jersey and Hurricane Sandy. What are your thoughts on that? Because some people are saying that maybe there's, you know, I'm an agnostic, but many are talking about divine intervention with Hurricane Sandy coming through, cementing the notion of the notion that Barack Obama had the comportment to be president. That happened because of the hurricane. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, on other shows, I talk about religious fervor. I'm going to save all the religious fervor pertaining to this. I think there's a lot of factors, and this is just one of the factors that helped push Obama in the presidency. As I said in the beginning of the show, that Chris Christie did one big, long infomercial for Mr. Obama because he had to. And keep in mind, Chris Christie spoke out about Obama policies many a time. But also now, you have to remember, Romney wanted to cut a lot of these policies. He wanted to cut FEMA. He wanted to cut Big Bird. He wanted to cut other things. And then we saw on a national scale, day in, day out, everyone was covering it. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, local news, that Obama declared it a disaster. He had to do that so the aid could be rushed to New Jersey. Over 2,000 FEMA agents deployed on New Jersey. You see? So the backlash that Christie is receiving, because there is some articles running around that, oh, you know, he could have went out, he could have campaigned. How is he going to campaign when your state is going through a disaster? You have to stay there until the job is done. You don't just leave and just say, let me go campaign for, you know, Romney and everything else. No, you're in a disaster. That's like leaving your family at home when your home is in a disaster. Straight up the disaster, then I go help everything else. So the backlash really makes doesn't make any sense. Again, it goes back to that madman personality, 1960. You're just angry right now, and now you're trying to find back up and look at all different types of things why you're lost, why you are the loser. So I'm not going to say that this was divine intervention. It might have been. It might have been, you understand, but I'm not here to break that down and everything else, how the storm came up a certain way, and then when it hit certain angles due to all spiritualism. I won't get into that. I'll say that for another time. You understand? That's a whole other thing. You know,
well, you know something, Captain? I want to mention this briefly. We've got about 4 minutes remaining. You know, this is to our white friends now. And I'm not saying the ones that supported Barack Obama. I'm just saying to those who might be, you know, in a sour mood because their leader didn't win. You know, this whole thing, I've heard this before about Barack Obama. Well, he made promises. He promised us, Captain. He promised us. Stop being babies. Stop being babies. You know when a baby says, you know, to a parent, but you promised. You know, the child may not realize that there are grown-up things that might have prevented the parent from actually being able to do certain things. You know, some things you know, on many occasions you have to keep your promises. Sometimes you can't keep your promise. There are extenuating circumstances that prevent someone from keeping their promises. And I heard this from adults, Captain, that would say, but he promised. You know, I don't think you can ride out an economy that was on a downturn the way that it was. And I was thinking that there's a logic to this win. There is a logic to this win, that if you're going to be fair, no one, and actually in all respect to former President Bill Clinton, and he said this during the why am I losing my thoughts now? But Jensen's not kicking in. During the convention, he said that no one could have straightened out this economy based on where it was from. So, I mean, that's just the reality of it. You have to be fair. You have to give the man the props for all the other things that he has been able to accomplish. And the fact that he wouldn't have even considered a black president if it wasn't as bad as it was. The reason why he's there is because, oh, wait a minute, I think we got to get this smart black guy. We got to do something radical. Well, this is what radical looks like. All right, on that note, Captain, let's play a jammy jam as we get on out. We'll be back again on Sunday for our Grindhouse Sunday show, fully packed show with Daryl B. talking about comics for the first show, comics, sci-fi, fantasy for the first part, and batting second. We'll be doing what we always do, giving you great political discourse and other things, still nerdy things. All right, folks, going on out with Push and Pull, Push and Pull Live, Prince and the Great Nick Acosta. We'll see you on Sunday. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.